Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. And don't forget to try the new Labatt Blue Light Seltzer Variety Pack, available at retailers throughout Pennsylvania.
Welcome to quarter number two of the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by DraftKings. The 55th Super Bowl is this weekend, and a game this big deserves a big prize. And DraftKings, the official daily fantasy sports partner of Super Bowl 55, has up to $55 million in total prizes up for grabs with their Super Bowl prediction pool. How's that for big? And all you got to do to get your share of the huge prizes is enter DraftKings' free Super Bowl Prediction Challenge. Once you submit your picks, you'll get a free instant prize up to $25,000. And if you have the most predictions correct, you could win the top prize of $1 million. Download the DraftKings app and use code KSN to enter the free $55 million Super Bowl Prediction Challenge. Everyone gets an instant prize up to $25,000 just for playing. So that's code KSN. Only at DraftKings, the official daily fantasy partner of Super Bowl 55. Terms, conditions, and eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. I am Jim Galante, along with Greg Pickle. We're ready to go with quarter number two of the Keystone Kickoff Show. And Greg, a week ago, we started a really interesting series where we were looking at the history of recruiting at Penn State for James Franklin. And you know, we say it every year when we talk about recruiting that, well, there's really no way to judge a recruiting class accurately, you know, that year or even after 1 year or 2 years. So we are going to do that job of looking back after the fact and in hindsight decide how good was that recruiting class. A week ago, we did the 2015 class. You could go to our app or our website, and if you want to go back and listen to that. This week, as I said, 2016, this was a class that finished ranked 20th in the country. It had 20 enrollees of this group. Seven of them were four stars. One of them was a five star, and that was Miles Sanders. And the balance, the other 11 were three stars. Greg, overall, what did you think in reviewing this, taking a look at this class?
Yeah, so this is a group, Jim, that per the 247 Sports composite, number 20 overall, number 4 in the Big Ten, with an average star rating of 0.8808, which is roughly on the border of 3-star, 4-star. So that was the makeup of this class. I mean, again, I think we've talked about it before. When you go back and look at this, you're obviously going to look at the guys that were 3 stars and see a couple who you'll say, huh, they turned out better than expected. And you're going to see some 4 and 5 stars who, maybe they didn't do what we thought they would. So I guess let me start with this as we, you know, as we sit here in February and obviously back in 2016, there was only one signing day, so there was none of this first signing day, second signing day kind of thing. But my point in saying this is that Penn State took a chance on two guys then that I don't think they would now, Anthony Johnson and Brennan Thrift, near the end of that recruiting cycle. Neither one really panned out, but they had some scholarship space available, so they figured they'd try it. And, you know, that was kind of that. But looking at this class, I mean, I think on paper, if it was going to be re-ranked, Jim, is there any chance it would rank number 20 in the country? I don't think so. I don't know if it would rank inside the top 30, quite frankly. I mean, the top of the class, Miles Sanders, Michael Mennett, they worked out. Connor McGovern's now in the NFL. That was good. But then you have 3 other 4-stars near the top of this list. Shane Simmons, Ellison Jordan, Daniel Joseph, a 4th one in Cam Brown, and then a 5th in Zach McPherson, who never turned into anything at Penn State. Now, obviously, Brown still has time to do that. But, you know, it's one of those things where we've been patiently waiting for a while, and you just wonder what it's going to take to ever get to that point. McPherson actually moved on to the Big 12 at Texas Tech and had a nice end to his career, but he didn't do it at Penn State. You know, Will Fries turned into a multi-year starter as a 3-star. Jake Zembic was a 3-star who was hurt and didn't really get to, get to realize his potential, but was a key member of the off-field staff. Shaka Toney was a 3-star who outperformed that. Same with Blake Gilligan. But yeah, Jim, I think if you were re-ranking this group today, you'd be hard pressed to make it even a top 30 or maybe even top 40 class in the country. Maybe that sounds harsh, but just a lot of these guys in this class did not pan out the way that most people thought they would.
Probably the case, Greg, but here's something I do want to point out as a positive in that recruiting class that stuck out to me. Miles Sanders not only was a five-star, but was the number one ranked player in Pennsylvania. Michael Mennett, very highly ranked, very highly sought after player, was number two in the state. Shane Simmons was number one in the state of Maryland. So you had, there was somebody else, Jake Zembeck actually was the number one in the state of New York. I know not a huge recruiting area necessarily, the state of New York, but it looked like they kept what at the time were the very top players in Pennsylvania and in the region. So I think that's one of the other factors that sticks out for me. What about you?
Yeah, I think you're 100% right on that, Jim. You know, they, you know, another thing about this class that to kind of get into what you're saying is that look how many guys from Maryland were in this group, five, which was the most of any state beside Pennsylvania, where there were also five. So Penn State did a good job of getting top players out of there. But, you know, was 16, Jim, the year, and I'm going to take this a little bit of a different direction, but was 16 the first year where they really struggled in New Jersey and never really regained a foothold? I think it was. I think that this was the class that Penn State really wasn't able to get anything done in New Jersey, and they never really recovered from that, even to this day. I mean, they might get a guy here or there, but they really have struggled to be successful there. And I am right. 2015, they had five guys from New Jersey in the 14 class. I'm not sure where exactly that ended up because that was such a rush job, but four New Jersey guys in the 14 class. And then you get to the 16 group, Jim, and they that was kind of the first sign that they would struggle in New Jersey, and they never really were able to pick it up from there. So, you know, they've picked again a guy here, a guy there, but all told, it was a struggle in New Jersey. That's one thing the 16 class can be remembered for, starting that trend. And, you know, you're right, though, they did go out and get some top players from other states, Maryland, Pennsylvania, as you say. It was the first time they really got into Georgia, so that was interesting to see. And you know, it was maybe one of the last classes where there was more of a regional focus, Jim, instead of a national focus, and more guys from the Mid-Atlantic than there were anywhere else. And, you know, as we've seen, Penn State's recruiting has evolved in such a way that they can go to other places besides just the states closest to them and get a class mostly made up of kids from there. So I think that's interesting to consider, too.
It brings up, Greg, that another debate about that regional versus national footprint. You look at this group, you said they say they did well regionally, and they seem to get away from that after this class, become more of a national presence. Now, after a few years of success, they may be turning around and coming back to regional again, and the argument for that regional recruiting might be the guys that you're bringing in from outside the territory, outside your own region, seem to be the ones who are more likely to leave. And maybe I'm using a small sample size here, but we recently saw the couple receivers from Florida, John Dunmore, TJ Jones, back into the portal. We see the quarterback that was brought in here from Nevada go back into the portal. So are we seeing a little bit of the pendulum swinging back to the local and regional guys in the 2022 class?
At least for the time being, yes. And we'll see how things shake out. You know, it's just, I think it's going to be so hard to look ahead to that class because, you know, again, you have a guy like Tyler Bowen getting ready to leave, and that's going to change some things. You have two tight ends committed. Let's not forget Holden Stays and Jerry Cross. So we'll see what happens with them. But you have a new offense that may not fit all the guys that are in this class. And I'm specifically talking about Bo Prabula, who I think could play in this offense, but it's certainly a little bit different than I think what he committed to. So, you know, that's something to keep in mind. But he's a Penn State State legacy. I don't really see him decommitting. At any rate, not a Penn State legacy, but a longtime Penn State fan, a guy who loves Penn State. So I think that's something to keep in mind. But, you know, yeah, and once these guys take visits again, just like the 16 class, you know, you might see some guys decommit. So I think that's something to keep in mind, too. Conversely, you might be able to flip some guys. So it's going to be interesting to see what that class ultimately looks like down the road, because there's a long time until that group can sign, and a lot's going to happen between now and then.
I think, Greg, where the question comes up, and I hadn't thought about this prior, but you're right. There's two tight ends in the 2022 class who committed, and correct me if I'm wrong, was it not one from Wisconsin and one from Georgia? And my theory being, where if they were local guys, if they were Pennsylvania guys who grew up Penn State fans, they would probably be less likely to look elsewhere. And I'm not making any predictions here, but I'm just saying your position coach leaves in Tyler Bowen, plus you're from outside the area. All of a sudden, are those guys more likely to hit the portal than guys who are your local players?
Yeah, I think that sometimes that is the case and sometimes it's not. You know, I do think that when guys are closer to campus, you're more likely to be able to keep them if things get rocky or if things get, you know, complicated with their recruitment, because they can come to campus and see you with just a few hour drive in a car, and guys who are further away, they got to hop in a plane. Obviously that's much more difficult to do. So I do think that, you know, Penn State's success is always going to be in the Mid-Atlantic and build on landing these close-to-home guys that they can build strong relationships with over a number of years. But let's be honest, you know, to tie it back to 2016, I don't know if you can win a college football playoff right now taking guys from just Maryland, Pennsylvania, and Ohio, unless you're getting the number one guys in those states year in and year out. And I don't know if Penn State's going to be able to do that. In fact, I'm highly confident that they are not. So, you know, that's something to keep in mind there, is that you got to be able to branch out and keep those guys. Again, once they're able to take visits, if you don't go as well, if things don't go as well as you think they will, etc., you know, you have to be able to have strong enough relationships to keep those guys.
Circling back to where our goal of this segment was, looking at this 2016 class, I'm probably not as critical as you are. I think you see someone like a Miles Sanders and Michael Mennett and Connor McGovern and Cam Brown. These are guys who came in and were multiple year starters. So overall, I'm not sure that ranked 20th nationally is really a bad grade. And these guys were there for several of these 10 win seasons, so that couldn't have been too bad. Finally, Greg, I want you to give us your grade for this class as far as recruiting goes.
Yeah, I think B at the time, C at best. I mean, obviously Sanders and Mennett were great and a couple other guys, but for the most part, this class did not have a lot of contributors.
Okay, that's fair enough, Greg. That will be it for quarter number two. When we go into quarter number three, it's going to be time to ask Greg. So make sure you stay tuned for that.
The 55th Super Bowl is this weekend, and DraftKings, the official daily fantasy sports partner of Super Bowl 55, has up to $55 million in total prizes up for grabs. Download the DraftKings app and use code KSN to enter the free $55 million Super Bowl Prediction Challenge. Everyone gets an instant prize up to $25,000 just for playing. That's code KSN only at DraftKings, the official daily fantasy partner of Super Bowl 55. Terms, conditions, and eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details.
This is where the temperatures are unkind. This is where water freezes in the blink of an eye. This is where the wind bites harder than a mid-ice cross check. This is where the beer is always on ice. This is Labatt Hockey, played the way Mother Nature intended. Labatt Blue is proud to support pond hockey and all the hardy souls that like to play it cool. This is Labatt Hockey.
Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.